beware. The bull crappy's coming. So as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you on Monday.
All right. Rolling.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. I tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. German authorities say they foiled bomb attacks against American installations in Germany. Acting on a tip, police carried out overnight raids Tuesday, arresting three Al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorist suspects. The men had enough material to make a bomb with the explosive power of 1,200 pounds of TNT. Five nuclear cruise missiles were mistakenly mounted under the wings of a B-52 bomber and transported from a North Dakota Air Force base to Louisiana last week. The Air Force says there was never a danger to the American public. The incident is being investigated. The head military man in charge in Iraq, General David Petraeus, has hinted he may recommend troop cuts when he testifies before Congress next week. He says, quote, "There are limits to what our military can provide," end quote. A new report, however, finds Iraqi security forces will not be able to take over in the next 18 months. It also says there is so much corruption in the police force that it should be scrapped. The assessment came from a panel of 20 mostly retired senior military and police officers. President Bush met with Prime Minister John Howard during a visit to Australia. The Prime Minister pledged to keep Australian forces in Iraq. The two leaders then signed a treaty granting Australia more access to top-secret U.S. intelligence. The Washington Post reports a chief advisor to Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf says the administration is considering declaring emergency rule as Musharraf's re-election chances diminish. Under emergency rule, elections could be postponed for as long as a year and citizens' rights curtailed. Former Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega will not be extradited to France on a money laundering conviction. For now, a judge put the move on hold after Noriega's attorneys questioned whether or not France will treat their client as a prisoner of war and abide by the Geneva Conventions. A Senate Ethics Committee has refused to set aside a complaint against Idaho Senator Larry Craig, who pled guilty after he was arrested in a men's room sex sting. Craig says he will only resign if his attempt to withdraw his guilty plea fails. That's reversing a weekend statement saying he would resign. The veteran Republican lawmaker has hired a prominent attorney to fight the charges. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A California heat wave, now in its eighth day, caused the deaths of 25 people. Temperatures have been around 110 degrees, draining the power grid and causing power outages. The European Society of Cardiology says that exercising may actually generate new blood vessels in bones and muscles. The new vessels can help repair cardiovascular problems. Medical researchers are warning consumers the fumes from butter-flavored microwave popcorn may be dangerous. There are already reports of lung disease from workers in factories that produce the product. Federal authorities announced they will investigate whether toy giant Mattel responded quickly enough to a previous toy recall. The move comes as Mattel is in the midst of its third recall in a month of Chinese-made toys containing lead paint. U.S. stocks closed lower today. Experts blame slow sales of existing homes and investors' anticipation of a report of lackluster jobs growth. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.73 a barrel. Gold is trading at $690.70 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow ended down 143 points at 13,305. The Nasdaq was down 24 at 2605. And the S&P closed down 17 at 1472. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, everybody, wake the hell up. It's Joe Vecchio. It's time to start another week here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on Head On Radio Network. How are you all doing today? Get up, get up. 1, 2, 1, 2. Do your aerobics. Do your calisthenics. Get up there. Get some. Get your blood moving. Get your blood. You. I see your blood standing still over there. I see it. Get it moving. Pump it out. Hit that chest if you have to. Pretend you're that guy from that Saturday Night Live sketch, Chris Farley, having that heart attack. The Bears fan eating all them ribs. Ooh, I hurt myself. Never strike yourself in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. That's never a good sign. How is everybody doing today? It is Monday, and it is time once again for the Cup of Joe Radio Show. And it was an interesting... It was Easter weekend, and I had actually kind of forgotten about that. And the truth of the matter is, it just doesn't mean what it used to mean to me. Actually, I don't think it ever really meant anything much to me, except for when I was a kid coloring the Easter eggs. I grew up in a Catholic family, and as I'm fond of saying, Catholicism tends to breed agnostics and atheists. And so Easter is really not a big deal to me. In fact, I almost wound up working on Sunday. We had a big job come in on Friday. We had a big job come in on Friday, and I thought it would continue on over the weekend, that I'd have some work on Sunday. But they gave me a call on Saturday and said, "Well, we kind of finished it all today." Anyway. But it was Easter Sunday, and I didn't do a damn thing yesterday. I stayed home and I watched the ball game on TV, the White Sox game. I don't really care for American League Baseball, but, you know, a baseball game is a baseball game. And I cooked some soup, and basically lazed around the house all day. Didn't do much online, just kind of goofed around watching TV and relaxing. And you know what? That's perfectly all right. If I had been working Sunday, I would have had to get up at 4:30 in the morning anyway, so I'm actually kind of glad I did. I have enough of a problem getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning just to do this show. I am not. I have said it before, and I will say it again. I am not a morning person. I never have been, and I never will be. And that's just that. Some people are morning people. Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. She is a morning person. She is not the annoying type of morning person, like, you know, I am a morning person, and I wake up with a do, pow, pow. No, she's not like that. She just likes to get up in the morning. Me? No. You know, as far as I'm concerned, anything before noon is too damn early. It's too damn early. Anyway. You know, I read the... I'm up late, which is one of the reasons why I'm not a morning person, and I tend to be up late regardless of how early I've gotten up in the morning. But if you stay up until like midnight or so, you get to read the New York Times headlines before you know, the morning. I mean, the editorials and stuff first really appear around midnight East time, about 11 o'clock my time. So I get to read all this stuff, and if I feel so obliged to do so, I can make a post about it. But I haven't been posting a whole lot on my blog lately, and really, it doesn't matter. I mean, I get about 100 hits a day, and that's all I'm ever really going to get. But at any rate, I caught Paul Krugman's article today, which was a very good one, and it's a subject that we blogs have been talking about for quite some time. And Krugman's been echoing that, and I'm glad for that because he does reach a bigger audience than some of the blogs do. But the title of the column is Sweet Little Lies, and it talks about how the Republican Party will just plant stories, little tiny lies, to set a tone for a campaign. We saw it with Al Gore. We're seeing it with Barack Obama. You know, they've been doing it with Bill and Hillary Clinton for ages. I mean, I was hearing really crazy stuff about them, you know, way back when they first started running, and it's like, you know, why do these people hate Clinton and Bill and Hillary Clinton so much? It was really mind-boggling at the time, but it was one of my first awakenings in political awareness when I was really started to get informed about what was going on. And almost immediately, the first thing I discovered was that Republicans are a-holes. You know, no matter what their political beliefs are, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, you know, they're just a-holes. They are the meanest, nastiest people. And I mean, you know, I met some liberal guys that are, you know, really, really kind of snotty. You know, some of the really rich liberals that are just kind of snotty and, like, you know, have a sense of noblesse oblige. You know, we feel. But Republicans, man, oh man, there is no lie. There is nothing they will not stoop to make themselves look good at someone else's expense. And all the stuff that they said about Clinton, I mean, even the day after Clinton got elected, I was seeing bumper stickers saying, well, maybe not the day after, but very briefly after I got elected, after Clinton got elected, they had bumper stickers out that said, impeach Clinton. They would never give him a chance. And it's the same with any Democrat at this point. That's why, you know, all the people bitching about, well, Al Gore didn't run a good campaign, or, you know, John Kerry didn't run a good campaign. You know what? No Democrat was going to escape the kind of notice that the Republican hate machine has. And the big reason they get away with it, of course, is the so-called professional media simply allows them to by echoing the right-wing talking points. Let me read some of the article here, because he's talking about Krugman is talking about the difference between small lies and big lies. And he talked about the power of the little lies. He said the small accusation invented out of thin air, followed by another and another and another. Little lies aren't meant to have staying power. Instead, they create a sort of background hum, a sense that the person facing all these accusations must have done something wrong. For a long time, basically from 9/11 to the last remnants of Bush's credibility drowned in New Orleans, the Bush administration was able to go big on its deceptions. Most people found it inconceivable that an American president would, for example, assert without evidence that Saddam and al-Qaeda were allies. Mr. Bush won the 2004 election because a bunch of voters still couldn't believe he would grossly mislead them on matters of national security. And again, that's part of them laying the foundation, ladies and gentlemen. This is back to me and not Mr. Krugman again. That's part of laying the foundation because they've kind of laid that foundation. You know, Mr. Bush, you know, bringing honor and dignity back to the White House. The grown-ups are in charge and all that stuff. And of course, but the big lies don't work as easily anymore in this day and age because now they've been called on it and people know they're full of crap. But the little lies, they hang on. They hang on. And Krugman goes on to talk about how they're dealing with Nancy Pelosi. And you know what? I'm going to continue this after our Beatles break because I just noticed the clock that we are heading into a Beatles break. So let's go ahead and take a break, and I will continue on with this thread after that. If you want to call in and give me a call and talk to me about this, the number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be back with more of the Cover Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Believe the environment is issue number one. Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the U.K., and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.ORG.
This is the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, if you want to call in, is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4. Head on. If you want to email me, you can send me an email at joe@cupjoe.com. And hey, you know, I haven't done this in a few days, so let me go ahead and do this. We are, you know, working on getting investment, of course, for the Head On Radio Network. And the best way we can have of getting investment is to show how many listeners we have. So if you're listening to the show right now, I want you to take a second. And it only takes a second, and it doesn't cost you a penny. I want you to take a second to email me at joe@cupjoe.com. And all you have to do is write in the subject heading, I'm listening. You can write a little text if you want. That's fine. You don't have to. But if you do that, that way I get some emails and I can show, hey, you know, these are the people listening to my show. And, of course, you know, it's the same for all the head-on stuff. So if you want to do that, that would be great. And I really, really want you to do that. To be perfectly honest, I really, really want you to do that. If you haven't done so far, I've gotten quite a few, and I'm very happy with the response I've got. But, of course, I'm never satisfied. More, more, more. I want more. So just do that. Just write an email to joe@cupjoe.com. Okay. Also, before I continue on, let me also mention my friends in the Head On Radio Network chat room, which is where I am every morning when I do the show, watching the people talk and sometimes responding to them. And you can get there by going to headonradionetwork.com and scrolling down a little bit, and to the right you'll see the chat room link, and just clicking on that, and you get to talk to some of the smartest people in the internets and all that. Anyway, to continue on what I was talking about, how Krugman was talking about how the Republicans used the little lie, and the mainstream media, how they, and I hate using that term, I call them the so-called professional media, they just kind of push along all these lies, and of course no Democrat has a real chance against it, you know, and no Democrat is immune, as we've seen. I mean, they take a war hero like John Kerry. I mean, whatever you think of Kerry's political views or his abilities as a politician, you know, that's one thing. I mean, those are always legitimate issues, but When you start to say that he lied about his service record to get his medals, or that he didn't deserve his medals, that's just a bunch of crap. The man was a war hero, okay? The man was a war hero. But they're turning out against him. Max Cleland lost three limbs serving his country. And they took that strength and they turned it against him. And that's what Karl Rove does. That's a typical Karl Rove strategy right there. But anyway, the big thing is what they're talking about now, and what they're going crazy over, was Nancy Pelosi's trip to Syria and other places. Here's what Paul Krugman had to say. He said, now there's Ms. Pelosi's fact-finding trip. Oh, excuse me. She started, I said, first there were claims that the Speaker of the House had demanded a lavish plane for her trips back to California. One Republican leader denounced her arrogance of extravagance. Then, when it became clear that the whole story was bogus, admitted that he had never seen any evidence. Now there's Ms. Pelosi's fact-finding trip to Syria, which Dick Cheney described as bad behavior. Unlike the visit to Syria by three Republican congressmen a few days earlier, or Newt Gingrich's trip to China when he was Speaker. Now Ms. Pelosi has responded coolly, dismissing the administration's reactions as a tantrum. But it's more than just that. Her hysterical reaction to her, and it was a hysterical reaction, by the way, I never saw so many people go so nuts over my life over such a huge non-issue. And considering all the huge non-issues that they've been going in a rant about for quite some time, it's just remarkable that you know, they just keep doing it. But then again, that's what you get from the mindless zombies of the right wing. It gives those, you know, their reactions like that, they give their little lies a time and sun. I mean, they scream it loud enough, and, you know, people who kind of sort of pay attention to politics, at the very best, they think, well, they all suck. And that's just the type of attitude they're playing, because it still plays into their hands. If they can just destroy the idea of politics, the idea of self-rule, the idea of the type of government that we have, if they can just keep that in people's minds, then they benefit by it. Because these people hate the very idea of government. And the reason why they hate the very idea of government is because the federal government is the only institution that's powerful enough to stop their scams. I've said before, and I'll say again, there are essentially three types of people who vote Republican. There are the people who are in on the scam, there are the people who want to be in on the scam, and there are those who are not aware that they're being scammed. But make no doubt about it, this is a scam. It is a distinct and deliberate effort to rob you of your money and suck it all up into the highest levels of society as far as money is concerned. I'm saying it the wrong way, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm only a high school graduate, ladies and gentlemen. What can I say? The richest 1% of the country since the Republicans have begun their surge 25 or 30 years ago, since corporations started really throwing their money into the political process in a major way, the richest 1% of the country has gone from owning something along the lines of 8 to 10% to something like 23, 24%. I think it's more like 44, 45% of the wealth. That is, if you took a hundred, if you assume that the country had 100 people in it, that the 100 people represented the entire population of the country, and the entire wealth of the country was $100, one person, the richest one person in there, would have something like $40, $45, and everybody else would be sharing the rest. And the top 10 people would have something like $70. Did I say the top 10 people? The top 2 or 3 people. And everybody else would be fighting for scraps. And that's how, you know, and that's how the situation is economically today. It's just as bad as it was during the 1920s. And it's all aided by the little lie in conjunction with the big lie, because they set up a foundation. They were doing it earlier with Barack Obama. You know, talking about, you know, his middle name is Hussein. And you saw a little while ago, every time they put Obama's name on there, they put Barack Hussein Obama. And then, of course, there were those who intentionally misspelled his name to say Osama. Yeah, there was something. And then he went to a madrasa. And then even after it was debunked, they still keep saying it. And on top of that, here they are after Pelosi. And this is what, I got this from MakeThemAccountable.com. I'm on her mailing list. MakeThemAccountable.com has a daily mailing list. And if you go to her site, you can get on it. And she will send you very important news stories. And here are 1, 2, 3, 4 stories dealing directly with that issue. And here's the headlines of each one. Wall Street Journal op-ed attacking Pelosi basically asserts she may have committed a felony. Now, the Wall Street Journal, we know, has been a right-wing rag for as long as it's been, and probably at least as far as the editorials are concerned. Their news used to be really good. Now, from what I understand, it's almost as bad as the editorials. But here they're putting out, well, maybe she committed a felony. The next headline is the American media's fringe ideological view of Pelosi's trip. As it says in the thing, taking its cues from the Limbaugh-Cheney American Enterprise Institute faction, the world in which negotiating with a country like Syria is some sort of radical and highly controversial idea simply does not recognize how isolated and on the fringe the right-wing faction is. The cheap, artificial, mindless Charles Krautheimer, Bill Kristol, Ann Coulter, Dick Cheney, chest-beating and fake warrior against the world mentality is now a distinctly fringe American phenomenon, and yet the bulk of our American media is beholden to that group, takes its cues from it, and treats it like it defines the mainstream. Here's the next one. The Republican strategist Blakeman says Pelosi gave aid and comfort to Assad, who is the president of Syria, and called her the Neville Chamberlain of our time. And that was on MSNBC News Live. And on the Today Show, Tim Russert, there's our friend Timmy again, good old butt plug, basically asserted that Democrats have difficulty being competitive on foreign policy issues. Ah, yes. And it all adds up. And in the meantime, the Republicans continue to get away with lie after lie after lie. And what that does is because they make people, they try to drive the negatives of Democrats up, and they try to drive the negatives of government in general up to keep people away from the polls, so that when the elections come, things are just close enough for them to steal. 2006, I don't want to say it was a fluke, but the reason why it didn't work for them, because they were expecting to hold on to Congress, but the reason why they didn't was because there were a lot of people who were kind of in the middle were getting fed up with it. The people who were Category 3, the kinds who didn't realize they were being scammed, are starting to get the message. Excuse me, had to get a drink of water there. And what sickens me most is the amount of money these guys make. That's what sickens me the most. How much money does Tim Russert make? Does he make in the millions a year? The people who write the Wall Street Journal editorials, I'm sure they make well over six figures a year. You know, pay me that kind of money, I'll screw up just as badly as they can. If you want to talk about this, give me a call. The number to call and talk to me is 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We are about halfway through the show right now. So please give me a call. Talk to me about this so that I don't have to just chest feed on my own here. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away. No any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Spare me the mea culpas, but they've already started. The anguished posing of former Bush aides who've suddenly seen the error of their ways and are quickly now trying to wash their hands of all the disasters they helped construct. Last Sunday, the New York Times ran a front-page story on Matthew Dowd, who did ads for Bush in 2000 and was actually Bush's chief campaign strategist in 2004. Dowd is a professional chameleon, as he had to switch his party ID to Republican before he slithered onto the Bush bandwagon to Washington. He was impressed, he said, by Bush's talk of compassionate conservatism. Oh, whatever. He then used his scheming talents to sell Bush to the American public not once but twice. And now he tells us that he's troubled by Bush's response to Abu Ghraib and he's lost faith in the Iraq war. Well, it's a little late for that, isn't it? The Abu Ghraib scandal broke way before the 2004 elections, and the Iraq war had gone south by then as well. All the while, Matthew Dowd told Americans why they should vote for Bush. And now he's sorry? Look, some blood doesn't wash off, no matter how hard you try. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
as I understand it, the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. We were we're halfway through already. Time flies when you're having fun, as they say. And I always have fun doing this show, despite having to get up so damn early in the morning to do it. As I mentioned at the beginning, I am simply not a morning person. But that's okay. I still manage to do the show, except for when my internet connection goes down, which has been happening from time to time. It's actually very clean today. I'm very happy for that. I don't know why it does that. Just every now and then it just goes, you know, we're going to cut off right now. We're just going to stop. Like that. And it happened on Friday, and it happened on Thursday, I believe. It happened so bad that I couldn't even do the show. So. Little notice in Daily Coast today, and this is something that I had talked about before, actually, on the show. And it has to do with the firing of the federal prosecutors, because, you know, for primarily political reasons, whether it was because they wouldn't go after Democrats hard enough or because the Bush people wanted to get one of their unqualified little cronies in there to pad up their resumes. And some of the prosecutors, the few that were honest, the category, I don't know if they were category two or category three, but they assumed that their job as prosecutors was to do their job when, of course, you know, for as far as the Bush administration is concerned, their job as prosecutors is to support and defend the Republican Party and its policies, or the Bush administration in particular and its policies. But one of the things Karl Rove wanted to do, and one of the reasons why one of the bloggers was or lawyers was fired, was because he wouldn't go after election fraud, phony issues that they just wanted to play it up. Partly to do the little lies thing, but partly to hurt Democrats. And there was a case in Wisconsin, and this was from McJoan on the Daily Coast website. It's the case of Steve Biskupic, who is a Wisconsin U.S. attorney who kept his job, hasn't really been in the radar in the prosecutor purge story since he wasn't, but he's been keeping tabs, but we've been keeping tabs, and found the report from Milwaukee's Journal Sentinel that bolsters the case that dirty electoral politics is the core issue in this. And let me read a little bit from the article here, and this is from a Talking Points memo, actually. And, you know, the bigger bloggers linked to each other. That's kind of a steady thing. So for weeks it was unclear who whined to the White House last year that not enough voter fraud cases were being prosecuted in Milwaukee. Now we know. The state Republican Party went straight to the top in its efforts to make voter fraud an issue in Wisconsin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, children and all little kids and all ships at sea, let me make it very, very, very clear. When Republicans talk about voter fraud, what they mean is they don't want the darkies to vote. They don't want the Mexicans to vote. Of course, the reality is the Republicans do not believe in the democratic process. The Republicans do not believe in the idea of self-rule. The Republicans follow the conservative Constitution, the preamble of which states, we Well, how did I put that? We, the rightful leaders of the world. As opposed to we, the people. We, the rightful leaders of the world. So therefore, they don't believe in the actual democratic process. Whereas Democrats, now granted, there's some, you know, finagling going around in there too, but the Democrats would prefer to make the voting process easier. They would prefer to make the voter registration process easier, and they would prefer to get more people on the rolls. Because we honestly believe that the strength of our ideas is good enough that people will vote based upon that, and that the more people vote, the better for us. We honestly believe that, and I happen to believe that to a certain extent, but the voter fraud that is going on has to do with the electronic voting, which, as with the Bush administration, is unaccountable, done in secret, and usually full of lies. But anyway, to continue, it was there was a document called Fraud in Wisconsin 2004, a timeline summary, turned up last week in the hoard of White House and U.S. Justice Department records released by the House Judiciary Committee, which is investigating the firing of the U.S. attorneys. The report was prepared for Karl Rove, said a source with knowledge of the situation. Rick wanted it, so he gave it to Karl Rove. So the head of the state party went to the political arm of the White House with a report supposedly documenting widespread abuse of election laws in Milwaukee, violating that the party clearly believed they weren't getting the attention they deserved. In late 2005, U.S. Attorney Steve Biskupic, a Bush appointee, announced that his probe found no evidence of a conspiracy in the 2004 election year. Biskupic kept his job, but from all appearances, he was on thin ice. Now, last month, Bush spokeswoman Dana Perino said that beginning in mid-2004, the White House received complaints that federal prosecutors were not vigorously pursuing complaints of voter fraud in Philadelphia, New Mexico, and Milwaukee. Etc., etc., etc. And it's something that I pointed out. What about those people who didn't get fired? They're going to be bringing baseless accusations up against Democrats just for the sake of politics. And under the Justice Department, the Bush administration Justice Department, a Democrat is seven times more likely to be investigated than a Republican. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Democrats are, you know, clean as a whistle and they should never be investigated. That's ridiculous. But to have them investigated seven times more than Republicans, especially when the Republicans have been doing the great bulk of the corruption since they've been controlling the government and they control all the purse strings until, you know, 2006. That should be pretty clear to people that something's not up. That should be pretty clear that something is up. Did I say not up before? See, this is what happens when your brain cells aren't firing properly. And my brain cells are not firing properly today. They haven't been firing properly for the last 2 weeks. Actually, I'm not sure they've been firing properly since I was born. I think I was born with a brain defect, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe that's why I became a Democrat. Actually, I don't consider myself a Democrat as much as I consider myself a liberal, but that's another story. But it's obvious to me, and it's been obvious for a while, apart from Republicans being a-holes, which they are, and which they have been since as long as I've been politically aware, that these guys basically want to be like the Communist Party. They want a one-party.